What's up, everybody? Stretch run of the season is here. 8 games remaining for, and I think that's the upper limit. Games remaining for teams is eight. So some teams have less. Some teams, I don't think any team has more than eight remaining. Maybe I'm wrong, and I could be corrected. And nothing has really changed in terms of the West standings a couple weeks ago since we talked 10 days ago. So maybe the Lakers moving into eighth.
And
The
the
Eastern.
Nuggets, I mean, not the Nuggets, the Mavericks spiraling downwards.
That is true as well. The
They were like the sixth
Mavericks
seed.
have dropped to 11th, so they have the tiebreaker, I believe. We'll get into all that nonetheless. The Eastern Conference, minimal changes, but changes that are still noteworthy. The Pacers seem to be finally done. The Bulls are now all of a sudden can realistically potentially sneak into a top eight spot.
Yeah, they're the 10 seed, so just
And they're
won
only
two
a game
games.
behind Atlanta. Atlanta's in major trouble, with the way their schedule's looking and their recent play.
They might have
We'll
to
see.
blow it up after one season.
I mean, Trae Young may be out. Wasn't that rude? I mean, I don't tr
I mean,
don't
now that
expect
they
a bleacher
fired
report, but
Nate McMillan, I don't know about all that.
yeah, they may keep Quinn Snyder. But there was reports that said Trae may want out if they don't end up making noise in the playoffs. They may not even make the playoffs. Forget about noise. We know they're not making noise because you're not beating Milwaukee, Boston, or Philly. But which is the only three, if you look at standings, that's literally the only realistic matchups that could happen for them at this current point in time, based off their seeding. But I'll give it to you guys. Do you guys want to start with the East or the West here? I'll throw it to you guys.
I think the East has less to talk about than the West, so I'll start with the East.
All right, Jalen, since you said that, what team you want to start with? That's
Do I have
piqued
to?
your
I'm sorry
interest
for
lately.
it's piquing my interest. I think that honestly, a lot of teams in the top, there's a lot of movement right now, but a team that I'm keeping my eye on is the Heat, personally. They're doing the thing where they troll for like half the season. Or three, four of the season, and they turn it up out of nowhere. Jimmy Butler becomes all
You saw
NBA
that Jimmy
player.
Butler quote? He
Yeah,
literally
yeah.
confirmed our conspiracies. Literally
Yeah,
said,
but
I don't
he
try until
trolled.
after the All-Star break. I'm like, cool. We knew that shit 3 years ago, bro.
Yeah, we can tell. We honestly could tell. But yeah, the Heat are peaking. They are currently the seventh seed in the West, sixth
Six.
in the East. Sixth in the East. They're
Well, they're
sixteen
playing for seventh today. So,
and they are playing for seventh against the Nets in about a few hours. But they're on a two-game win streak right now. They're only 2 games back, or one of the half game back from five seed, which is a real possibility because the Knicks are sliding. But the Miami Heat are just peaking at the right time. I think Jimmy Butler is coming into form. They're getting healthy. They got Kyle Lowry back. Advantage whoever they're playing, but they don't have that many people on the injury report. And Bam Adebayo is coming into his own recently.
yeah, he's been their most consistent player this season.
Yeah, he's been very consistent. There was a lot of debates about whether he could turn it on and keep it on for the whole season, but we always saw the flashes, and right now he's definitely picking it up. But overall, as a team, they're just a dangerous team that you don't want to play in the playoffs. I know they're in lower seed, you're gonna get home court advantage, but if I'm somebody in a three seed right now, if I'm the 76ers, I don't want to play them. I don't want to play them. I'd rather play the Nets or the Knicks. Because that would be a quicker series, a less physical series,
Yeah.
and you have the best and second best player guaranteed in either of those series. While with the Heat, Jimmy Butler can range from the second best to sometimes the first best player in any given game in the playoffs. But yeah, they're just a scary team that you have to watch.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. The one thing I disagree with, though, I would, if I'm a team, I'd rather face Miami than the Knicks.
The
But
Knicks,
that's crazy.
I
I
don't know
think
about that,
just
bro.
the Knicks been, to be fair, Brunson's been in and out, and he's been their best player.
They have been.
Randle, it looks exhausted. Tibbs needs to relax and just let the guy sit out some games and rest. Although now you
But
can't even
like,
anymore. But
it's Tom Thibodeau, bro.
yeah, but he looks tired, right? He looks exhausted
Yeah.
after having that master class against the Timberwolves, of course. He's kind of been on a downtrend in terms of his ability to make shots. And then we already know Randall, he could be a hothead on the court sometimes. I don't know
Yeah.
why people were acting surprised a couple of days ago when he argued with the referee. That's literally nothing new. So I don't really care about that. But I mean, it's I think injuries is more so what I'm gonna blame for the Knicks' downfall right now. Mm-hmm. I don't even think they Brunson didn't play like against Orlando, did he? Yeah, he didn't. So
no, he was out. He was out.
So I mean, I'm not gonna sit out here worry too much about the Knicks here. I think they're regardless if you're a Knicks fan, as long as you don't drop to seven, you're a first round exit anyway, and that's not to hate or anything. You're not beating Cleveland, Philly, or Boston, so
or Milwaukee.
Or Milwaukee, but Milwaukee.
They're not. I don't think they'll drop that far, so I didn't bother.
They're not gonna drop to the 14th, but they were playing.
If they were in the seventh seed and they lost,
I guess the play-in. That is very true.
Yeah.
So. That's true. But yeah, I do agree. Miami, as you Jimmy Butler talking about, I don't try until after the All-Star break.
That is insane, very true. That,
I guess they have enough talent on the team where you can be unserious for that long, and still be fine.
I don't know about this year, but yeah.
Funny enough, if they're in the Western Conference, they would be even better situated. But yeah, regardless,
they'd be like the four seed.
Yeah, so they luckily for Miami, I guess if you're a Miami fan, this is a positive. You get to play the Knicks one more time, or is it two more times? So that'll help you make up some of the distance for fifth. But then here comes the question: if you're Miami, right now you have Philly at third. You have Cleveland at four. Cleveland's a lock at four. I mean, unless Philly falls off, which I'd be surprised.
I'd be shocked.
If they fall off so bad that Cleveland can catch them. But if you're Miami now, you get to kind of... never mind. Brooklyn is so close to them that you can't really even strategically start deciding things. Then as you Jalen mentioned. No, like if you decide to strategically maybe pick a matchup, depending on what happens. But, I mean, as Jalen mentioned, they played literally Brooklyn tonight, and if they lose to Brooklyn, they drop seventh again. So they're not really in a position to fool around at this point. But
I don't think they'd beat any of the top three seeds, but they'd just make it an annoying, like, 6 to 7-game series for literally no reason at all.
I agree.
Definitely. They have the pieces to do that. And Jimmy Butler, are we even surprised he's picking it up? And, you know, because you remember earlier in the year, he was, I'd say, quite frankly, really bad for his level.
Yeah, he was just trolling.
And what you expect from him. And now lately, as they continue to rise, he's been playing like Jimmy Butler. But again, Miami, there's just too much concerns in a playoff setting where I actually genuinely think they could beat Philly. No, I don't think they could beat Boston. Even if they get five, I genuinely don't think they could beat Cleveland.
I think they could beat Philly.
If they got five, I think they could probably beat Cleveland.
That's the number one defense in the NBA. I don't know if they have the potential. We already talked about their offense.
Cleveland's offense is kind of concerning with the fact that they only have like two shooters on the court at all times.
That is true. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm banking on the fact that they can they'd be able to kind of nullify Miami's offense. I'm pretty confident about that.
That would be one of the lowest scoring playoff series we've seen in a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, who do you trust more offensively, right? Do you trust Mitchell and Garland, or do you trust Butler and Ujiv? I mean, really, Bam at this point is their second best offensive player. But I guess if you want to argue, you could say Tyler Herro, secondary playmaker.
I trust Cleveland easily. I mean, that's two perimeter guys.
I'm saying, yeah. So I think I've trusted Cleveland in a series against Miami.
I don't think Bam would have a fun series against Mobley and Jared Allen.
And Allen, yeah. Mobley has been phenomenal too, by the way.
Bam is like, he'd be aggressive one game, and then he'd just be like non-existent on offense the other game. And then Tyler Herro is like,
you never know the same thing.
Yeah, you don't know. He's more of like a six-man type of scorer. He's like a microwave scorer. But
yeah.
And then they got no one else besides. Like, Kyle Lowry's been better, but he's still not great. And then Oladipo's been really bad recently. Like, it's just going to be Jimmy Butler. Like, I feel like in the first round, it's going to be like legit him averaging 30, and then everyone else is like going to be mid. Maybe besides Bam, but he'll be like...
Bam would be like the second highest. He'll be doing his thing. Bam would be like their second highest scorer with like 17 points per game.
Bam has a tough matchup regardless here. Right now, they're currently slated to face Philly. That could obviously change. But again, that's not an easy matchup.
I feel like the Knicks and Cavs are locked. I don't think the Heat are going to catch the Knicks.
Really?
You bro, think, they're a they're one and a half games.
Only one and a half game. And they have a one more matchup left.
The Knicks got the Rockets next. Oh, they do. They have a big matchup on Wednesday.
They have Miami, and then they have Cleveland back to back.
Would you be surprised if the Knicks lost to the Rockets? Like, seriously,
the Knicks got the Pacers twice. They got.
I definitely would be. The Knicks, if they're fully healthy and they lose to the Rockets,
and they got us too. Yeah, they're gonna keep the 50.
I mean, bro, like the Rockets pulled off some troll ass upset against the fucking Celtics, and they beat the Lakers, which was hilarious. But
if Brunson's playing, I just
don't. Yeah, I don't. But the Mets again, Miami already has to worry about Brooklyn today. That's very tough for them. But I think they could. Brooklyn has been kind of concerning, which are not surprising to say. They're kind of
because they don't. They have like two players in their starting lineup that legit can outscore.
So, but their defense is cool, but that's literally meaningless if you can't take advantage.
Bro, the fact that the Suns made Cam Johnson untouchable in the Kevin Durant trade was hilarious at one point.
Yeah.
Like, that dude has been fucking ass. That dude has been fucking garbage.
Yeah, recently he is.
He was good like the first five games.
Yeah, he was great the first five games there, but now he's been a little bit up and down.
Yeah, then the honeymoon.
It's you're asking a role player to do too much. That's the issue. And that's the issue with Brooklyn until they can figure out who's going to be that number one, or they've drafted one, maybe. They have
to draft one. I mean,
they're literally relying on Spencer Dinwiddie right now.
I don't think Mikal Bridges can be a top scorer in the NBA. I don't know what the fuck has been going on the past like 20 games.
He's a third option.
He has if he improves his ball handling, I could definitely see a reality. I think he can get a shot off. Get a shot off over anybody. But the issue is like he's not fluent enough in terms of creating his own shot to really create distinct advantages.
I would love to see what he would do in a series where he's like a primary focal point.
It'd be Dinwiddie, right? Still, I just feel that.
Wow, they're going home. Quickly.
It just has been Dinwiddie. That's the only person who could literally create advantages.
If they're relying on Dinwiddie and Bridges to score points for them, I have really bad news.
But that's why they fell off, at least. They're hanging. I mean, there's so much clear of Atlanta, they're not dropping, but they will probably be in the play-in. Minus
they might lose both of those play-in games, too. Like,
I think they could beat the Bulls or the Raptors, or Atlanta even at this current.
I mean, the Bulls got two guys that could put up like 30.
I mean, the Bulls are safe now in the top 10.
I don't even want to talk about the Wizards, but
I told you the Bulls was going to be the Wizards. Come on,
bro, y'all dropped like crazy.
Because we had an easy schedule. We just didn't take advantage of it.
Hey, listen though, y'all can tank here. I mean,
yeah, sure. Bro, if we tank, we could get a top six or maybe five.
Literally, come on now. I mean, if I'm a Wizards fan, I'm excited. The fallout. This is what I wanted. So.
Even Corey Kispert said that he understands like people saying that we should tank.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're devoid of
talent. Y'all are going to end up with like pick eight, I swear.
I mean, that's still good this year. Like, that's how good the draft is. That eighth would be, you should be happy about that.
Kyle Kuzma, though.
Imagine getting to like
gone, tech 8 in this draft is good, sure, but like when you're missing out on the top like three prospects, I'd be pretty mad.
That is true. But I mean, when you re-sign Beal and you have Porzingis, it's not going to be bad enough if they're relatively healthy to be in the Hornets range.
Get rid of Kuzma.
Hornets are only bad because obviously they had one of the worst offseasons in recent memory, so.
Hey man, ask the Mavericks if the Hornets are bad. That was embarrassing, bro. Dennis Smith Jr. hit a dagger over them.
We'll get to the Mavericks shortly. So we talked about Miami, New York, we kind of touched upon, but really not much to talk about New York other than they need Brunson to consistently be there. But their defense
has been a
massive concern. Listen, give Randle his prop. Did the bro not just have a 58? Point game like
He had an amazing game, but I'm just saying recently, like I think the last three games.
Yeah, Miami had a rough game against Miami, which isn't too surprising, even though obviously we saw what he did to them last time. And then Orlando, he could have had a better game, but it's whatever. He should have a bounce back game against Houston.
Well,
Jabari Smith Jr. Yeah. got the clamps.
It's just what the doctor ordered. It's like, it's Houston's what the doctor ordered. But
I checked their box score yesterday and I said, who was 10 of 11 from three?
Oh, you talking about Luke Kennard?
Luke Kennard.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
True.
That was crazy. But yes, New York's defense has been
140 true shooting.
He passed Davis Bertans for the single best true shooting in a game.
I mean, the Knicks allowed 140 points to the Timberwolves, missing Anthony Edwards, Carl Anthony Towns. They allowed 127 points to the Miami Heat. Orlando, let's not even worry about that game. They still ended up losing that one, but again, not surprised. But again, that defense, leaving guys wide open. You were allowing Torian Prince. The whole reason why he went 8-for-8 from three is because like six of them were uncontested.
That was crazy because we were on the Wolves bit and like everyone was clowning him because I think he lost y'all the game against
Chicago. It was Chicago. He literally gave away a win. It was 20 seconds left. He had the ball. All he had to do was hold it. And for whatever reason, he drove it and threw it out of bounds. He didn't even throw it out of bounds.
And then he had 35 in the next game. Yeah. So he kind of redeemed himself.
Yeah, and then obviously cooked Trae Young a couple of days ago. So he has redeemed himself lately. But regardless, I mean,
that's
like,
not hard. But yeah,
that's unacceptable if you're in New York that you're allowing such things to happen to you in the stretch run. Because like, if you're not good at this point in the season, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not going to change magically in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I got bad news.
Just defensively, like we're not. I might even talk about their offense because their offense has been solid. If you look at their losses, it's not like they're not scoring. They just have not, especially when Brunson plays, they've been able to score. Their issue is they haven't been able to stop anyone. The sad part is regardless of who plays. It's not even like they're losing to top-tier guys. They just letting anybody get whatever they want. But we'll see with them. I'm not too concerned about New York here in terms of dropping to like seventh. I don't foresee that them drop. Their schedule, as I mentioned, is relatively easy outside of Cleveland and Miami. All right. We kind of talked a little bit about Brooklyn. They lost their last two matchups. The last one was pretty embarrassing to Cleveland because they literally had the win. I think they turned over.
College basketball type loss. They just kept giving the ball away to the other team.
Embarrassing. Could not secure a missed Mitchell rebound, free throw, which led to the Okoro game. Imagine Okoro game winner.
Oof. That was crazy. They were up by four with 20, like 7 seconds left. I was watching the end of that game.
They were up by six with a minute left. They
turned the ball over.
They just had Dinwiddie ice, so, and then it just didn't work out, surprisingly.
Yeah, the Nets need to trade for an actual number one.
Yeah, they're on a 5-game losing streak, so they really have to sit out here and must win tonight.
Bridges is not going to cut it.
Because I look at their next couple of matchups, it's very favorable. They have Orlando, they have Houston, they have Atlanta, they have Utah, they have Minnesota, they have Detroit, they have Orlando, and they close the season with Philly. And I could definitely see Embiid and Harden being rested in that game, depending on if Philly have their seed locked.
Yeah, so if they're locked into a position, they're
very, very favorable schedule. If they can pick up the win here, I can really see them ending up sixth potentially. Maybe even, again, New York schedule so easy. I don't know if they could push them, but definitely they could finish above Miami here. But tonight is going to decide that. But again, I just don't foresee how they can keep up if you can't get reliable production. Only two guys are giving them reliable production, self-created. Yeah, and that's just self-creation. And then essentially Dinwiddie's literally the only person they can give the ball to create mismatches for other people. You're not lasting too long. If that's the case, and we've seen against Cleveland, it should have been enough the second game. I'm not even gonna lie, it's just some of the dumbest turnovers I think I've ever seen a team come in. And they had timeouts too, so I don't know why you wouldn't use them in some of those situations that are just throwing the ball away. All right, we'll revisit Brooklyn down the line. Again, their season is essentially on the line, at least in terms of trying to get out the play-in.
I think it's over if they don't get a top six seed.
Oh, so you think they're not going to be able to pull it out?
I'm saying, like, if they don't get a top six seed, I think their season's over. I don't see how they're going to beat some of these teams that I don't see how they're going to beat Atlanta. Okay, they could probably beat Toronto, even though it's going to be a terrible game to watch. Two terrorist teams playing each other. And then the Bulls have two guys that could put up like 30 on any given night, so I don't know.
I mean, that is true. But, I mean, well.
In these one-off games, you need people that can get a bucket.
To be fair, it's not even like a negative scenario, too. They miss completely as they could get a lottery pick, so not the end of the world.
Yeah,
that's either.
True. They actually, technically, yeah, they do own their pick this year.
So, and they're certainly not going to be in a position to swap with Houston. So Houston won't even get, Houston won't be below them, so it doesn't even matter. All right. Atlanta. What do y'all think about Atlanta, man? They just literally consistently average. They literally do not.
Literal definition of mid.
They refuse to drop off, and they have been unable to string enough wins together to rise up. So they literally just been in the middle. So
I feel like whenever they have a chance to go to 500, they just blow up. They just don't play good.
I don't like that they just gave Bogdanovich like a 4-year, however many million deal. When Herder literally got a cheaper contract than his, like, younger.
I mean, they traded Herder for, like, Mo Harkless. It was, like, a pick in there. Like, that trade just – that's looking like one of the worst trades of the offseason, I'm going to be honest. They got Sadiq Bey to, like, kind of get the shooting back, but he's been solid for them, but it's just not the same. They got Quinn Snyder, too. Basically, nothing has changed, though, with Quinn Snyder. At helm. And then Trae Young and DeJounte, just I don't think they fit together as a duo. Maybe it'll take a year, but I would have thought it would have
maybe
taken like
an off
30,
season
40
would do
games.
Them like good, but that team. Ed.
Bro, they were playing, y'all remember in the Ju League, man? I thought they were gonna be nice. They were playing together. And they were throwing lobs
like
to John Collins.
Or something, but damn, bro, like
Quinn Snyder, I don't know what he – obviously, this, to be fair to him, he just became head coach and he's getting to learn his guys. But letting Naz Reid destroy you because they were – I think they were against Minnesota Wednesday. They were up by 10 with, like, 6 minutes left or 7 minutes left.
Yeah, that's a game you got to win.
For whatever reason, Sadiq Bey was playing the four at the current moment and they're just destroying us. Like, whatever shot they wanted, they was getting at this point. And then for whatever reason, it's beyond me, he throws in John Collins and I think he benched one of the wings. I don't remember who it was. And he put in John Collins. He reverts back to a two big lineup. And then they just got cooked. And Minnesota instantly went on a 10-0 run. And then eventually they ended up winning the game.
John Collins fell off a cliff.
I don't know why you would think John Collins would be able to stop Naz Reid anyway. Like, that's the perfect advantage.
So much. Oh my god.
When they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, he was really good defensively. Like, he was one of the reasons
why
they
didn't
get
it far. He was actually a good defender, and he was like a near 40% 3-point shooter.
Yeah, he was like reliable, especially from corners. And now he's like, nice, not good.
I don't even want to blame John Collins. I'm blaming Quinn Snyder. Why would you sit out here and just bail out the Timberwolves two big lineup, essentially? That's what he did. Because Chris Finch was running Naz Reid with either Rudy or Cat. Naz Reid played like almost 30 minutes, I think. So you clearly seen that Sadiq Bey was, I think he had like 9 points in the third quarter or something like that. And then he continued in the end of towards the middle of the fourth quarter. He started getting some good looks. And then he just went away from it. And then at that point, and he never adjusted. That's the shocking part. Is once the team goes on a 10-0 run, do you not realize, like, okay, like, let me maybe put
but
back
I just
in what
did,
was
didn't
working.
Work.
Yeah. And say, literally just keeps them in. He just keeps them in. And then they end up losing the game. If it wasn't for the refs bailing out Trae Young, they would have lost pretty handily. But they ended up losing anyway. And I don't get what Quinn Snyder saw. John Collins overall had a pretty good game, to be fair. But I just think that if you're going to play John Collins, just play him at center then. And roll with the smaller lineup that seemed to be effective instead of I don't know. That was so confusing to me from a
they
basketball.
They just have too many mid players, like Herder, Collins, Capella, Sadiq Bey. Like, what the fuck? What are they cooking over here? Bogdanovich. I mean, I guess he's a good shooter, but the dude is never healthy. And they traded Kevin Herder. No reason at all. I don't know, bro. I don't know what they're cooking over there.
Yeah, I agree. And Jatte Murray, I have to call him out. He's been pretty ass. Like,
yeah,
they're paying him and they give a big package for him. He's been very, very underwhelming, especially like scoring wise. People thought that maybe he'd take the next step scoring. He gets to play with a player that takes the pressure off of him. But he's actually taking a step back. Honestly, his percentages are down. His scoring in general is down. When he was in San Antonio, he was a almost triple-double averaging type guy in 2021. He's taken huge steps back in all three of those categories, including rebounding and assist. He went from 8.3 to 5.4 this year rebounds and 9 to 6 assists this year. And a lot of that has to do with usage, obviously. But if you're going to be the second guy and you're the guy that people said that is going to make Trae Young playoff ball, you have to be efficient, effective with the ball, and you have to play like a number one or a possible number one, or at least a high level number two. He doesn't do any of that. He's inefficient, not shot chucking, but he gets up a lot of his shots. He still rebounds and gets assists a lot, but obviously that goes down with Trae getting the ball a lot. But it's gone from Trae having to be or wanting to be off ball to now DeJounte has to play more of an off ball role and has to play like more of a, let's say, I don't know a really good example, but he has to play a real number two, and it's just not what Atlanta was hoping for.
Yeah, it's definitely been underwhelming, especially with, as you said, a lot of the pieces around him aren't the best in the world, but they really don't have anything. They don't even have the assets to improve. I guess this year, if they end up bottoming
out, they're not going to blow it up either because they just hired Quinn Snyder. So it's like.
Right. It's pretty evident that they don't plan to. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bothered. So I don't know what's. It's such a weird situation. I've never seen.
That's like the worst place to be in.
A team go all in the summer. Because, I mean, you give away as much picks as you did. You're essentially kind of dipping into all in. And then to have the disastrous stuff going on in the front office. In the ownership, didn't their executive step down? So, and then Trae, we're getting Trae Young may leave this summer. I've never ever seen that. I'm not even gonna lie, like that. Yeah. That is surprising.
The Gobert trade was like bad in hindsight, but at least y'all are not like this level of dysfunctional.
Right. Like obviously, when you look back on it, it's a bad trade. You can't really sit out here and excuse it. But there's no like, oh, this guy stepped down. And then there's this stuff going on. And then there's like rumors of let's say Cat, for example, is once out. Oh, he wants to, like, it's insane just to me how the vibes went for in 70 games. And mind you, it's not even like Minnesota got a 30-year-old guy. So he only has 3 years left or so, 4 years before we expect the player to, especially if his size, to kind of reduce.
Yeah.
Trae Young and Murray have a lot of time. So,
yeah. Jante's what, like 26?
Yeah, so it's baffling. And then they own their pick this year, so it's not even like a doomsday scenario if they end up missing the play. It's not like the Timberwolves miss, they don't own their pick. Well, they own their own pick, so.
I don't feel like they need more young talent. I feel like they just need actual fucking good players around Trae Young.
Yeah, but I mean, again, having a high pick does essentially make it easier to
acquire one. Yeah,
and I get one. Because they don't, as of now, they have, like, I think dead middle, like maybe the 16th pick or something, 15th.
I could check.
So,
website.
They own their pick this year. So, at the very least, so they're dead in, which is still a good pick. I'm not going to lie. That'll get you something good. But again, they're only a game away from the Bulls. So, it's not even like they're safe in eight. If they lose, would be shocked. They somehow butchered the game today, and the Bulls will beat the Lakers tomorrow early. They'll be tied with number 10. So,
yeah, that's not
good. It's trouble.
DeJounte, his last eight games, he's averaging 15 points on 36% field goal percentage and shooting 13% from three. So, damn, he's been horrible. He's minus six during that stretch, too. That's since his 41-point game. As well, like he had a really good game recently, but
he had 41.
He had 41, 9 games ago against who they play. I think they played I don't think it was the Warriors. But he had a really good game. I was against the Blazers.
not surprised.
The Raptors have a the Raptors have a brutal schedule left. To close your season.
This is another team that's just mid and just needs
some. Yeah.
This is like the mid. These teams are unbearable to talk about.
We just have to see in the off season with them. I don't. They'll obviously get a playing spot, but in terms of doing anything with it, we'll see. They have the talent maybe to win two and get kind of like the Pelicans did last year. But again, that's a team I think they'll be interesting in the summer where we see some pretty interesting decisions with a lot of free agents coming up. All right, Chicago is the one.
Really well.
Yeah, they're the ones really well. That have stepped up lately. To be fair, they blew out the Blazers, but who? I mean, come on, bro. Dame didn't play. They dominated Miami. They beat Philly before that. Obviously, they got whooped by Philly, but they did win the initial first one. They got the. I'm looking at their next three matchups here, man. Next four. Sorry, before they play the Grizzlies.
They got the Lakers, right?
They could win the next four, man. I'm looking at
they
the
could,
Lakers
I mean,
matchup. That's a big three wash.
Their big three, quote unquote, is like playing really well. Like even Vucevic is playing really well recently. And then Zach LaVine, at one point in the season, like everyone was calling for his head, but he's been really good. Probably since the All-Star break. He's averaging like 30 on great efficiencies. And DeMar DeRozan's like DeMar DeRozan. So
yeah, he's been consistent.
Even like Patrick Williams, like his defense, I remember there was a game against Philly where he played really good defense on Harden. So if he could just be a 3-and-D player, then that's all they really need, but he just
doesn't have a fucking 3-point.
I don't know about that 3-point shot, but yeah.
Yeah, he just can't shoot at all.
They in the Pat Bev era too now. Felice, they're 8-4 with Pat Bev. Why are you hating on me for that? He's a culture changer. But I'm again tomorrow the Lakers, that's a wash because again LeBron is not playing.
41% from hey, bro.
I mean the Lakers they could still win.
No, the Lakers can definitely still win, but is D'Lo even gonna play? I mean, we know that he's day to day, but the last time they said he missed 2 weeks.
If Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis, then they have a shot.
Can we be serious? The Bulls have more talent at their disposal, especially in terms of being able to score.
The Lakers will win that game. Mark my words.
I'm not saying I just said it was a wash. So yeah, it's tomorrow. I just said it was a wash, so I wouldn't be shocked if either team wins.
I think the Lakers win that game.
But I think the Bulls have more offensive weapons to go at the Lakers than the Thunder do, for example. The Bulls' defense has also been surprising. As much as they've been good, that hasn't even been their biggest issue.
The Bulls' defense has been good all year. Top 10 in defensive
rating. Yeah, that's even been their issue. It's just been scoring. And now that Azar just mentioned, all their guys who were struggling offensively have now picked it up. And now we're seeing them all of a sudden turn themselves around. Because I could have swore, like 10 days ago, they're like 7 games below 500. So they're really...
Even Kobe White has been really good. He's in a contract year, so maybe that's why. But he's honestly been really good defensively as well. So they gotta pay him though. I don't know if they will.
I mean, Lakers have no LeBron, and D'Lo. We'll see, but we know D'Lo. The last time they said he was day to day, he missed 2 weeks. Paul George is out for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Then again, they've played the Lakers without LeBron James. Then they got the Hornets. I mean, theoretically, we could really see them win 4 in a row before they obviously have a tough stretch after that. But I could genuinely see them picking up. And again, as desperate as the Lakers are to save their season, the Bulls are just as desperate. So that is essentially, I know it's outer conference and it doesn't have as much importance in the tiebreakers, but that is both teams are really hanging on for dear life at this current moment. So that's going to be a great matchup. Both tomorrow and on Wednesday. And again, the Bulls, they should be disappointed if they can't beat the Lakers. Because like you have more at your disposal. The Lakers are really hurt right now. They're hurting right now. So despite the fact that they did get a great one against the Thunder, props to them. I think they beat, who did they beat before they beat the Thunder? Yeah, my memory's fogged. But they beat the Thunder. That was a magnificent win. As much as people want to talk about the free throw disparity, which yes, 46-20 is a little insane. That was a great performance from them. They beat Thunder last night. And then now they get the Bulls, which yes, if you look at it, they have been technically record-wise worse than the Thunder, and they have been worse than the Suns. But I'm looking at talent-wise, and I certainly think the Bulls have a better team than the last two they played going in to this matchup. So very interested to see how the Lakers keep up with this Bulls' resurgent offense. I mean, outside of the one game, to be fair, outside of the Philly matchups, again, Philly's a really good team. Bulls' offense have been pretty good. So I don't know. That's interesting. The Bulls, I think, are positioned, I think, the best out of the next couple of teams. Now, to be fair, I think Atlanta's schedule is pretty easy too, right? Let me see.
I could have sworn the schedule is too difficult. Of it, but...
I lied. They have a pretty tough schedule. They have a brutal schedule to end the season. So the Bulls, I think, out of the play-in teams are set up the best to be able to make a run at 8. I'm talking about 8, 9, and 10, obviously, because I think Brooklyn's a little too far. But out of the 8, 9, 10 teams, I think Chicago set up the best to sneak into the 8th spot. All right. I think we can move on to the Western Conference. All right, Felice, what team piques your interest here lately in the last 10 days in the West?
West?
Yep.
I don't know, bro, because I haven't really been watching some of the teams in the Western Conference.
Azad, any team piqued your interest in the West in the last 10 days?
Maybe the Grizzlies, because they've been winning games. Even when
I mean, they got a job back, so that definitely helps. Jaren Jackson's been playing crazy recently, too.
Yeah, and they can, again,
let me scoring see. A lot of points recently.
Honestly, there's like a lot of teams. In terms of them being bad, I mean, we gotta talk about the Mavericks.
Yeah,
I mean, they're the 11th seed right now, which is crazy. They just lost to the Hornets, the worst offense in the NBA. I know Luka just came back, but it's like, still, regardless of that, like you gotta beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. They let Gordon Hayward own them, bro. That's crazy.
They were the 6th seed when we last recorded, like, the last episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's how, like, close the West is. But Hardy's been good.
Yeah, Jaden Hardy's really good.
That's the one. I'm shocked he dropped that far, but that's the one really good.
Yeah, I'm not really that surprised. I mean, he was
bright spot.
Fire on him. Okay, I guess that's fair, but, like, when you look at his stats in the G League, specifically, like, his splits, like, they were not good. I mean, but, yeah, the flashes were there. Last year's draft class was mid, so I understand why, like, some teams didn't want to, like, take him, I guess.
I'm not really that shocked, though. Like, Dallas is struggling. I mean, they got all rid of their defensive players. They got all no rim protection. Yep. No perimeter defense. That's pretty much it. And even on their offense, they just got two guys. I don't think Christian Wood's been that great, regardless if it's opportunity or not.
Rocker.
But yeah, they're just not a good team, honestly. Like, they are being like a dead horse, but they really should have re-signed Jalen Brunson. That's gonna bite them for a couple of years.
Telling you, if they didn't trade Brunson. And I mean, if they didn't trade Porzingis and they kept Brunson in free agency, they'd probably be a better team than they are right now. They'd also have all their draft picks. They'd have a little bit of cap flexibility.
Like, yeah, I mean, if they kept Porzingis and Brunson, I think they'd probably be a top three team just from how those players are playing this year. Honestly, like I don't know, maybe Porzingis would be different because he wasn't like managed well, but. I believe that was.
I mean, he's like the perfect type of big to, if you want to like that.
Yeah. You
could pair with Luka. I mean, obviously, there's probably better fits, but like, they're not realistic to get. It's like.
Yeah, it was just odd that duo didn't work, but.
I think a lot of it was due to like him just not being available.
Porzingis was trying to play. Yeah, and then obviously the usage, right? I mean, Porzingis was in the corner all the time. And then also, to be fair,
Porzingis
trying to play like a guard too much as well. Like, I don't know.
Jason Kidd probably fooled a lot of people last year, but he is not a good head coach.
Yeah. I mean, this, what was his timeout? He said something about the timeout not that long ago. It was,
I mean, are we surprised Jason Kidd having issues with timeouts? What we've seen.
But I mean,
many years bro, ago.
This is embarrassing. The players have no excuses either. You shouldn't lose to the Hornets, regardless if Kyrie and Luka play. And then not only that, he scored only 108 points, really.
Offense should be going a lot.
They play each other again at least tomorrow. If they lose again tomorrow, the season's over. I'm just going to keep it at that. They're not coming back. They're done. You can cook them. They're not coming back from it because even if they make the play, they're not winning. So for them to be below the Pelicans, who haven't had Zion in like, 3 months now? Who the Pelicans you're just talking about 10 days ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think you heard in December, right? But we just 10 days ago, we talked about the Pelicans may be done. And for you to be below that same team
is embarrassing.
It's inexcusable. So I don't know. And then your best player, did you guys mention it? Luka's post game.
He said
he wouldn't expand on it. Someone asked his why. He said he wouldn't give details, but just that's crazy. So
he said there's a lot going on beyond basketball.
He got fined $35K for I'm surprised it was only $35K for essentially saying the refs got paid off.
The refs have been getting a lot of
clip of what happened. I don't understand why he said that.
I know the Mavs have protested it, but I will be shocked if anything comes from it. I hope it does. But if what Mark Cuban really said is what happened, that's inexcusable. That's blatant violation of being fair to the game.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's the Warriors, so.
You can't tell. I'm not even going to blame the Warriors for it. I'm blaming the referees. I don't know. I mean, if I'm the Warriors, give me the free bucket. I'll take it. But
How much did they lose by that game?
2 points, literally.
The 2 points. They literally lost difference. By 2 points.
The difference one bucket.
So if there was something wrong with that, basket, you can't guarantee the rest of the game goes the same way,
Theoretically, what would the NBA do? Would they just have him play in overtime 5 minute period? Let's say they find that it was a violation. What would they do? I don't even know what they would do.
Because it's hard to prove that the game would go the same way for the rest of the game, if that didn't happen.
Right. So I don't know. I'm very interested to see how that turns out.
Would they just replay the rest of that fucking game? Because that would be insane.
I think that's what they would do. Restart from that basket. Which I think at that moment...
Theoretically, you can't prove.
But then again, that Kyrie probably wouldn't be allowed to play, right? Because he wasn't allowed to play. I don't know what would happen, honestly. That would be a very interesting scenario.
I feel like the ref issue has been a lot of players and coaches have been saying the refs are terrible recently. Because even... what's his name? Suns coach. Why is his name?
Monty Williams.
Monty Williams. He complained already 2 times about the refs. And then you had Luka who got fined. And then there's another player who got fined recently. It's kind of getting ridiculous. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, yeah. Didn't Trae Young say something about the refs the other day?
He did, which is ironic. He thought the refs did him dirty against the Timberwolves. But, bro, you would have lost by 10 points if the refs weren't. He had 16 free throw attempts on Wednesday.
And I'm not gonna lie. It's kind of funny for him to say that.
Bro, you foul bait and you flop, and that's, with all due respect, I have no issues with it, by the way. I have no issues with Trae Young. If the refs will let me foul bait and flop, I'll do it too, and get away with it. But you can't be the player to say that. If refs literally just decided to not call Trae Young's foul baiting, be bad for him. So I don't know why he's complaining. Obviously the Timberwolves, Kyle Anderson, I think got fined. And him and Athiers got ejected against Boston. Don't think I've seen... That was one of the worst ref games I've ever seen, maybe.
Which one?
Boston and Timberwolves. They let Mazzulla, which is a clear technical, by the way, the rules. They let Joe Mazzulla just walk all the way on our side of the court. He was on the court, three-point line. No technical call. Grant Williams illegally stole the tip. There's so much. NBA refs are garbage. I don't know. I think I've said this before. I wouldn't waste time. They suck at their jobs. They're disgraceful. I'd fire every single last one of them, except for maybe like two. And you could keep the Gucci ref.
Didn't one of them get demoted? Ben Taylor?
Ben Taylor. Ben Taylor got demoted, but he was the head ref on Wednesday, so I don't get what they meant by demoted. Keep the Gucci ref and keep Zach Zarba, and you get rid of the rest of them. They're terrible. But regardless, beyond the refereeing, Dallas just genuinely haven't been good. So I'm not even going to use the refs as an excuse because you just got slapped around by the Hornets. They're down 20 to the Hornets. They were down
20. Yeah, they came back, but yeah, they got game by Dennis Smith.
And then Dennis Smith hit a game-winning three with like 3 seconds left on it. It was perfectly executed. After a great Luka block, to get that three is just heartbreaking. And they're in deep trouble, even though their schedule isn't that terrible. I mean, they got it gets bad, but they got the Hornets, then they got the Pacers, and then it gets bad with the Sixers, Heat, Hawks, Kings, Bulls, and then they close off with the Spurs. But it's such a thin margin for error that you can't give away a game like that and expect to. I think their hopes for six is probably over though now, right?
They're what is
I'd imagine their 16 chase is
done. Yeah, probably.
And they're 2.5 games behind Golden State. And do they even have the tiebreaker? I don't even know if they have the tiebreaker at that. So
Luka in a play game would be fun.
They don't have the tiebreaker over the Timberwolves, so that's out the way. They don't have the tiebreaker over the Suns, so realistically, all the teams, they have the tiebreaker over the Lakers, but anyway. Jalen, you there?
Yeah.
Any team in the West that's piqued your interest over the last 10 days?
Other than the Mavericks sucking, like just sucking in general, man, they're horrible. We love to see it. Honestly, the Pelicans, they're on a little, not winning streak, but they're winning games. Their schedule's been easy over the past about a few weeks. Their next games are tough. They have the Clippers, the Blazers, the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Kings, the Grizzlies, the Knicks, and the Timberwolves to end out the season. But if they can keep somehow afloat around the play-in, I think that they're a team to watch when the play-in does come around, because Zion will be reevaluated in about a week from now. And if they get Zion back, I think that they have a good chance of winning the play-in and getting to as high as 7th seed. But definitely, their problem is that they have to be near the play-in, or they have to be, or they have to make the play-in, basically, or be near the play-in when he comes back. But they're 36-37. Brandon Ingram's had a lot of good games lately. They're one game out of the 7th seed, but they're also one game out of the 11th seed. So it's going to be tight. They also have a very tough schedule compared to the rest of the people in the play-in right now. But they have the talent there to make a push. Remember, they were number one seed in the West until Zion, Brandon, and CJ started dealing with their injuries. If they do end up in the playoffs, I wouldn't want to see them in the first round if I was the Nuggets or Grizzlies.
I mean, that's what they did last year. They were like kind of mid for the whole year. And then like mm-hmm. the last
They started off
couple games.
Terribly last year, though.
Yeah, they started off like 2-14 last year, something like that.
Yeah, and then they obviously made a run at the end. Yeah. Maybe they can do that this year, but when is Zion coming back? Like the last week of the season?
He evaluated it. So it's not even a guarantee he comes back.
Yep.
Yeah, they have the hardest remaining schedule. Out of the teams left in the play, they have the hardest remaining schedule. I know I wanted to mention about the Grizzlies before I forget. They can definitely catch the Nuggets for number one. The Nuggets got tough games coming up, while the Grizzlies are having a lighter schedule over the next couple games. So it could really be an interesting chase for number one. The Kings have kind of dropped off lately. You remember they were number two, if y'all don't forget, the last time we recorded. But they had an embarrassing loss to the Utah Jazz, who was literally missing everybody. Then they got blown out by Boston before they rebounded against the Suns. Now they got the Jazz next, so I think that's a favorable matchup. They got the Timberwolves on the second night of a back-to-back. Then they got the Blazers, Spurs. So they could definitely potentially make up some ground too. I think they're locked into third, though, I'm not going to lie, for the Kings. And obviously, Clippers are not making up six games and with eight games remaining. That's just too much. So
never say never.
Never say never, but I think they keep three.
Yeah, you're right.
The Clippers, they're holding on, but again, they're one of those teams where they have a tough end to the season. And Paul George is obviously out for the whole rest of the regular season. So that's a big blow. It's one thing, if Paul George was fully playing, I wouldn't be concerned about them. But they had a masterclass from their bench against OKC on Thursday. Really, I don't think that shooting is replicable. I'm not even going to lie. But
yeah, Bones Highland
played really good. And Batum killed him in that third quarter.
You're going to respect Bones Highland.
And then Kawhi Leonard, he's going to do what he does. I'm not even surprised.
Kawhi Leonard's been, I'm going to say, he's been a top three player in basketball since Christmas.
Today, though, they play the Pelicans in a pivotal matchup for both teams because the Clippers, for example, let me see how far they are. Two games.
They're the fourth seed, right?
Yeah, they're only two games out of eight. They still have a game to play against the Lakers. Mind you, Paul George will not be playing and LeBron's expected to be back. They're two games above
Timberwolves. They're just an interesting team. Like, I could see them beating anyone, but I could see them losing to anyone.
When is LeBron supposed to return?
The last four games of the regular season. The last four games of the regular season.
Who said that, Woj?
Yeah, Woj. But then LeBron went on Twitter and said they don't know what they're talking about, so I don't know.
He pulled Aaron Rodgers and went on Twitter and said, yeah, I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, so, but I'm just going to assume, realistically, he'll come back the last 4 days. That's the only timetable we have. So the Clippers aren't even safe, I'm going to be honest. They're in danger, so they have to win a matchup like today and beat the Pelicans, who are also missing their top player. Because I look at the rest of their season here, as I said, they have the Bulls up next. Again, that's a tough matchup. Then they got the Grizzlies back-to-back. That's pretty brutal. Then they got the Pelicans. Is Zion back by then? Maybe.
No.
Okay, honestly, but then they got the Lakers and LeBron's back.
By April 5th, probably.
Yeah. Then obviously Dame's also, that's a freebie against the Blazers. And then the Suns should be fully healthy at that point in time. So they're already going to be fully healthy by Wednesday. So they can theoretically drop all the way to like 8 or 9 if they don't take care of games before they play like the Grizzlies. See, the Grizzlies is a big ass to beat without Paul George, but certainly you got to beat the Pelicans and the Bulls coming up here, right?
Yeah, I think we got to beat the Pelicans and the Bulls, but I don't think that we're in that much danger to fall that far, because you have to think, because we would have to lose those games, right? And then the teams below us, right, other than the Suns and the Warriors, would have to make up 2.5 games of ground on us. So we would have to lose at least, let's say, out of our last eight, we would have to lose at least five. We'd have to lose at least five out of our last eight, and then those other teams would have to win at least, let's say, five.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is realistic.
Which I know, but the Lakers have a tiebreaker.
The Lakers don't have – we're 3-0 against the Lakers this year.
Okay, so they don't have the tiebreaker, regardless of what happens in the final game. Okay, that's big. You do not have the tiebreaker over the Timberwolves, I know that much. So if you guys end up with the same record, they would be ahead of you.
The Timberwolves would get the nod.
I know you have the tiebreaker. Do you have the tiebreaker over the Suns?
We're 1-1 with the Suns this season, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, you guys have one more game. Okay, so that's yet to be determined. How about Golden State?
Golden State, we beat them twice.
No, y'all are 1-1.
We beat them twice. We beat them February, and we beat them once in March.
So you have the tiebreaker over them.
We have the tiebreaker over them.
That's all important, because here I think they could definitely be, because Golden State's schedule is not easy by any means. So we'll get to them very soon. I would not. The only reason why I'm concerned is Paul George is out. If he wasn't out, I'm not too concerned about the Clippers here at all. I think tonight obviously kind of sets the tone for how they'll look without him. This is losing to the Bulls is one thing, because to be fair, they're out of the conference. There's no tiebreaker. associated with losing to them. It doesn't even matter because their conference record is meaningless too, because they don't give you anything if you lose or win. But the Pelicans here tonight, you have to, is a critical game, because then you could, you're going to start losing some important tiebreakers if you start dropping games like that.
Honestly, if I'm the Clippers, I wouldn't mind being like the sixth seed, because I think the Kings would be like 3 seed. I think they match up well.
That's a dangerous jump, because if you drop to 6, you're essentially potentially dropping to like 9, because there's like no separation between 6 and 10. Virtually, I mean 6 and 9, I should say. Virtually. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm just saying, like in terms of who they would want to play and what position, like I feel like Sacramento is easily like the team they would want to play. Not that like Sacramento's bad. Obviously, they're great, but I feel like for their players, especially like Kawhi and the rest of their players, like. They got no rim protection, maybe besides Sabonis, but even then, he's not a good rim protector. I feel like they'd really have no problems on offense.
I mean, I don't know. I think if I'm the Clippers, I want to play the Suns. Just the way it is.
I'd be higher on the Clippers if they don't play Marcus Morris. Like,
yeah, I'd be much higher on the Clippers if we didn't have a retard head
coach. Dude is terrible. Oh, my God.
We have a bad head coach. And it's starting to be more apparent every time I see him play that Ty Lue is stuck in his ways, and he obviously doesn't.
But it's crazy because Robert Covington comes in and he has like a good game, and he still doesn't get the minutes over.
I just don't understand, but it's okay. Once we get Ty Lue out and we get Ime Udoka in, it's okay. We're gonna be all right.
All right, that's a dream scenario.
Oh no, Udoka's a bad dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, whatever, bro.
All right, Phoenix, we just kind of labeled it. Phoenix Suns get KD back in like 5 days against Minnesota, but today they face 76ers without him. I'd assume they lose that one. If they lose to the Jazz on Monday, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not even going to lie, bro. But
I think they're going to beat the Sixers today.
The Suns? I think Embiid should have 40.
This week is tough for them. Biombo, but like, they got the Suns.
I have to watch Maxi run.
You have to watch what?
I have to watch Tyrese Maxey handle the ball and play.
Damn, is he that bad at handling the ball?
He's a hardened merchant.
Yeah, he's not a playmaker.
He can't playmake for shit.
He's more of an off-ball player. Now I get it.
Yeah, so if I had to watch him try to be a playmaker, it's over. On top of the fact that his point of attack defense is fucking terrible.
I think teams are low-key, like, letting Devin Booker cook. But, like, they're cool with that because everyone else they know in the Suns right now is, like, not going to do shit. Chris Paul's been cooked.
And Dayton is out.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot he's out. But, he's out for
– he's out. They got the 76ers. They got the Timberwolves. And they got the Nuggets this week. And the OKC Thunder. So, and it's not easy.
And KD comes back into Minnesota, right?
Yeah, so it should make it easier for them with KD coming back. I don't know if Aiden's going to be back by then, though. Golden State has a relatively tough schedule. They have a lot of easy games mixed in, but a lot of critical ones. For example, they have Minnesota tomorrow. If they win tomorrow, they virtually guarantee themselves a top 6 spot. If they lose, not anymore. Then they have the Pelicans after. That's a tough matchup. Even though I suspect them to win, they're at home. I suspect them to win the next two just because they're at home. Then they got the Spurs. That's a freebie.
I'll look up their road record.
Then they got – exactly. So if you're Golden State, you want to push to get home court here, because what an interesting split. I mean, it's bad. They have one – they have bottom 3 road records, and then they're one of the toughest teams to play at home.
They have the fourth worst road record in the NBA.
So – what an interesting split. It makes no sense sometimes, but regardless, I think the biggest concern with Golden State from regardless, beyond the home like road split, obviously, is their defense. It's been disgusting. You saw what the Clippers did to them not that long ago. Atlanta. You saw what Memphis did. Memphis destroyed them, and Ja wasn't even suited up. Dallas really pretty much dropped 125. Again, Kyrie didn't play that game. We already talked about the controversy there. Philly was able to put up points without James Harden. And obviously Wiggins is out. That hurts, but I think he's out for the season. Is that what was reported? So he's not coming back. I think they said they expect him to miss the rest of the regular season, right?
Ow. I hope he's all right. I don't know. Because there's been a lot of, like, rumors and shit.
Really, yeah, I've been ignoring the rumors. I'm not even going to mention them because they're idiotic. But I hope for the best for Wiggins and whatever is going on, figured out. But, again, you're facing thankfully for them, I just checked their schedule. There are some important tough matchups mixed in, but for the most part, they have a lot of home games. And if they do go on the road, it's the Blazers. Okay, that's tough. That's easy. The Kings, okay, that's a tough one. But, I mean, do the Kings decide to rest their guys if they're locked into number three at that point? And then the Nuggets, I guess, is a tough one. So, with Golden State, where they're going to end up, I think, is going to be decided within the next two games against Minnesota and the Pelicans. If they drop both at home, where they should likely win, then, yeah, they'll be in some trouble. But I'm not too worried about them. All right. Let's see here. OKC, do you guys think OKC is going to be able to? Yeah, because, mind you, they have a very easy schedule. Do you guys think OKC is going to be able to crawl back in? They are 10th now, but do you think they're going to be able to hold on to that playing spot?
It's so tough with Dallas. I think, I don't know, Dallas has they have an okay schedule. They got the Spurs and the Pacers as their, well, they take on the Hornets again. They could lose that game again, but I don't know. I still feel like Dallas would take it over OKC, but we'll see. I feel like teams are kind of exploiting OKC's inside presence. They don't really have a center. Like, they have, I think, the rookie Jalen Williams, not J Dub, the other dude.
Yeah,
playing Jaylen center for them. And he's getting cooked.
He's struggling.
Yeah. Like, teams are just, even on offense, they're like waving him wide open, even though he shoots really well. But, yeah, I feel like teams might exploit that more. I mean, the Lakers did it with AD, but that's AD at the end of the day. So maybe that's just a case of that. But I'm going to still say Dallas takes a 10 seed. I think they barely squeak in, and I think OKC barely misses out.
All right.
But who – I'm trying to see who has the advantage between those teams.
The tiebreaker?
I know OKC won one game because I know Shea went crazy. But let me check.
Oklahoma owns the tie over the Thunder.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, they own the tie.
I said over the Thunder. What an idiot.
That
I
makes meant it the tougher, low-key.
OKC owns it over the Mavericks. So if they do end up with the same record, the Thunder would keep the spot, which is what's happening right now. And I'm looking at OKC's schedule here. There's barbecue chicken
Dallas
stuff right
is
here.
Like, yeah, it's like unpredictable, like what they're going to do. But
come on, bro. Blazers, no Dame. Hornets at home. Pistons at home. Pacers. Bro, this is an easy schedule. I guess they have tough games to end the season with the Suns, the Warriors, and the Thunder. But, I mean, they had the Warriors number this year. They've been getting some wins over them, so.
True.
I mean, I think OKC's it's going to go down to the wire, man. I could really see a scenario where they may just hold on. Maybe another team drops. Like, the Pelicans have a brutal schedule, so maybe they drop or something. But maybe they hold on. What do you think, Jaylee? You saying they Azar said they slightly miss? What do you see here?
I think they're going on. What I think is going to end up happening is I have the Timberwolves at 7, the Lakers at 8, do I have the Mavericks missing? Yes. I have the Nuggets. I'm sorry. The Pelicans at 10, and then I have the Thunder at 9 is what I think is going to end up as.
All right. So you got the Mavericks completely missing out.
Yeah, I have the Mavericks.
That would be a crazy scenario if that actually ends up happening. But it's certainly realistic. It's not by any means. It wouldn't shock me, let me say that. It would just be crazy not seeing Luka, Kyrie team, not even in the playoffs. And then the summer would be even more crazy over there.
That would be crazy. But their supporting cast and coaching just holds them back so much.
Yeah.
And they drop games that they should win too. So it's like, it's so tough to predict with them.
I will talk about Utah, but their schedule is so brutal. And the fact that they really unfortunately have serious injuries in the stretch run.
They're not going to make it.
Which isn't a bad thing. It's a great season that they had. They have a great head coach. So they're really set up really well.
They got Chris Dunn at the G League, and he's been so good.
I'm telling you, Will Hardy is bro. He got THG. Have y'all seen how THG been doing starting?
Yeah, THG's been.
Yeah, he's had 37 like a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, like 37, like 10, 8. It was crazy. Like, Will Hardy has a way of fine-tuning his system where regardless of who fills it in, he's going to get good production out of anybody. But for obviously, like, Lauri Markkanen being there and dropping 40 and 30 consistently was helping them stay afloat. But him being out now with, I think he has a hand contusion. And then their next couple games are really difficult. I just don't see how they survive. I think is Fox out tonight, maybe?
I think, yeah, Fox is out for between a week and four with a hamstring injury.
Huh?
Yeah. He strained his hamstring.
Really? Who said that?
He's out for a whole week to maybe 4 weeks.
I saw it on Twitter somewhere. I have to go and look. It wasn't officially announced. It was a Twitter doctor, I'm pretty sure. He was like diagnosed as a hamstring injury, which can be up 1 to 4 weeks of recovery time.
All right, that is interesting. What?
Damn, Omar, why'd you react like that?
What do you mean, is he not my fantasy superstar?
Oh, I forgot he got my fantasy. Actually, that's a good thing that he's out low-key.
You are a sick fool.
Nah, I'm just playing.
That's crazy work. It's a good thing he's out.
Let's see. There's no way he's out for a week. He's questionable today, so there's no way
he's questionable for today? Okay, so maybe it's not as bad.
That doctor was gassing himself up. He needs to go back to school. He
probably was guessing based on the video.
Yeah, he needs to go back to school and restudy. all right. Utah is in a tough predicament. All right, the Lakers, I'm pretty confident about the Lakers, I'm not going to lie. Just because their schedule is just nothing to write home about.
That's true.
I guess the next two games, though, is critical because theoretically, you got to win the home and home with the Bulls here. Mm-hmm. If they drop these next two, they'll be in danger. I'm not going to lie, but I don't think they will. So I don't foresee it happening. So I'm not too worried about them, but especially when LeBron, because their tough matchups just so happens to be when LeBron returns. So I'm not concerned about them. The only tough matchup they have that LeBron's out is the Timberwolves. But I mean, you could afford to drop one, I guess.
They do not play Rui anymore. That's crazy. He plays like 10 minutes a night.
D'Lo is who I'm interested in, bro. If D'Lo misses these next few games, critical games against the Bulls, I think they will lose without D'Lo. If they got D'Lo, I think they win. If they are missing out on D'Lo's offensive impact here, they're not beating the Bulls. And then that could kill their season quickly.
I agree.
If they drop the next two, because, I mean, sure, you got the Rockets and two Jazz matchups, but once you start falling behind a little bit, it could get hard. But I'm confident in the Lakers. I'm going to say they finish top eight. I'm pretty confident in that.
Bro,
I wouldn't even be shocked if they get six, bro, just because, they have the tiebreaker over Golden State.
If Austin Reeves continues having that generational whistle, then they're going to be fine.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Their free throw disparity, I think they're plus 10 since the tweet the refs gave out. They're getting 10 extra free throws a night on average.
No, it's crazy. It's like this man knows how to take fouls or how to get fouls like a superstar.
He studied Trae Young tape. I could tell. James Harden, Trae Young.
I've whatever seen it nothing is. Like it.
Embiid, mix them all in together. He studied all of that and now has turned into a foul machine. So, tomorrow, great matchup for them. A great test for them, too. All right. Last but not least, I saved the Timberwolves for last. They have a very difficult schedule this week. It gets very easy after this. They play Golden State tomorrow. I think you already mentioned that. Then they play Sacramento the very next day. And then they play Phoenix on Wednesday. And you guys seen the report that Kevin Durant is back. And then they close it on Friday with the Lakers at home. Even though I'm not too worried about. Let's not even focus on that matchup for now. I think the Timberwolves season will be decided by these next three games right here. Golden State, Sacramento, Phoenix. Because I think, obviously, they will need help from the 76ers today or Utah on Monday, right? But if they win their next three games, so they just take care of their own business and they don't look at the standings, they could potentially be fifth if Phoenix drops a game here. I think it's today against Philly, or if they drop on Monday. Due to tiebreaker rules, they would be the fifth seed come Wednesday, which is pretty impressive considering Cat just came back on Wednesday against Atlanta. But
he played decent too, right?
Yeah, he did good. They were a plus 13 in his 26 minutes, and then they're like a minus, like double digit. I think it's like minus 13 or 14 in the minutes he sat. So it was nice to see him back. Obviously, Anthony Edwards didn't play. But finally, believe it or not, since the first time since November 23rd, the Timberwolves will be fully healthy. Expected to be fully healthy against Golden State tomorrow. Since November 23rd.
It's kind of crazy.
It's nice to finally be able to. And, I mean, they get their guys back at a critical moment and against the good teams. You know, Golden State, that's a really tough matchup. And if there's any team that can exploit you and the two bigs that you like to run, it's Golden State. Then they got Sacramento the day after, although I'm pretty confident they can beat Sacramento. They match up pretty well with these guys. And then Phoenix, obviously, once they get KD back. But, I mean, this is the thing, ASAP, right? Obviously, as a fan, you'd want to have freebie matchups, right? You'd want to maybe play the Blazers or the Spurs or the Hornets, even though they really haven't been a freebie. This is going to show what the Timberwolves really are. If you really, as good as you believe this team can be, they got to win at least two out of the next three. If they win three out of three, great. That's kind of impossible. But great. Then that means you've shown that you'll be able to do something in the playoffs. You go 0-3 or you go 1-3, then you're going to be what people expect you to be right now, which is a play-in team, first-round exit kind of team. So Timberwolves, you have everything in front of you. Because if you look at the Timberwolves' last five games, they're relatively easy. So these next three are pretty much where they're really going to have to pick up big wins. And that's their season, ASAP, right here, these next three games in terms of expectations.
No, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Y'all have an easy schedule, right? I like them.
After the three games, yeah. We play the Lakers on Friday, which obviously, you know, LeBron's out. Then they play the Blazers. You said what?
It should be tough regardless if Anthony Davis continues the way he's been playing.
They couldn't beat us without Cat. I'm not too worried.
D'Lo revenge game. What are you talking about?
He's putting the maybe 10 points on Jaden McDaniels. But that's as what he said. Bro, he last time they said it was day-to-day, he missed 3 weeks. Who even knows if he's going to be back Friday?
Yeah, that was weird.
And clearly it's something serious, as much as Darnham's trying to assume if he missed a critical game like Friday, because, like, that was their season almost yesterday, if you think about it, because that was a tiebreaker against OKC. So if he had to miss that game, I'm certain it's not day-to-day. They're just saying day-to-day to get people off their case. But again, as I'm saying, Felice, this is the Lakers matchup is considerably easier than like Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, depending if Fox plays.
Dame's being shut down, by the way. Sham just tweeted that.
Yeah, so we play the Blazers after that at home. That's a freebie. We play Brooklyn. Come on now, that's an expected win. Then they play the Spurs. That's expected. And then I guess you could say the Pelicans will be tough. If Zion returns. That's even if Zion returns. So if Zion returns, it will be tough. If he doesn't, that's a game you will probably win. So it's just going to be these next three games on a West Coast road trip that's going to decide where they end up. If they end up either top six, top five, or if they be probably 9, 10, or 7, and 8. We'll see, though. They got to deal with those damn Warriors in Golden State tomorrow. All right. You guys got any team of the week?
Um, Low key, it's probably the hardest. I'll say the Grizzlies.
I don't want to. I don't want to steal that. So let's see what.
Okay, so who are you gonna give it to?
Say the Bucks. 8-2 in their last 10 games.
Okay, that's fair.
I didn't want to steal. That would have been my pick. I wanted to do something different.
I'm going with the Lakers. They picked up. Actually, I'll go two. Even though I've never done that ever before. I'll give it to the Pelicans and the Lakers. I wanted to give it to the Pelicans, but the Lakers had massive wins over Phoenix. They just beat OKC, and then they beat someone before Phoenix. My memory's just completely cooked.
I mean, haven't the Pelicans played easy teams, though?
Yeah, they played easy teams, but...
They played the Rockets,
With the way they lost them, though, the day before they played them. So, Jabari Smith, game winner. How are you feeling for Lisa after that?
I didn't get to watch it live, but this was cool. He's been pretty good recently.
Finally looking like what you expected him to be.
Yeah, I guess maybe he was more of a project pick than people had imagined.
Hey, but better late than never, so...
I feel like
they beat the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Hornets, which are all freebies, but... With the way they were playing, to be fair, regardless, is a big win. And if they win today, that just proves my point even more that they deserve it.
Is that what were you about to say?
I said, I feel like, I don't know if y'all are into college a lot, but I see a lot of like kind of similarities with like Brandon Miller and Jabari Smith Jr.
Brandon Miller is a better finisher than Jabari Smith.
Yeah, like he's less catch and shoot, I feel like, than Jabari, but
yeah,
they're similar players.
Yeah,
sure. Player of the week.
Player of the week. I'm gonna be lazy and I'm gonna say Embiid. I don't even know what everybody in the NBA is doing.
Bro, you pick a lazy player every week, man.
I haven't like actually researched this.
Well, I'm giving it to Julius Randle.
Whoa, Julius Randle?
57 piece, yeah. He can play the league.
Doesn't that inflate his stats, though?
I do not care. He gets.
He's been averaging like 20. He's probably been averaging like 28 in the past, like, since we last recorded, so.
I mean, I just didn't want to pick the easy one. I mean, Embiid's an easy one. Giannis is an easy one. So I'm going with Julius Randle.
You could even say Jokic as well. He's been averaging like a 28-point
drop. Him too, yeah.
I know that hurt you to say that.
I'm just looking at stats, bro. I'm just looking at who's leading the league in points per game in the past like 3 weeks.
Nah, I know. I'm just saying it hurt you to say Nikola Jokic.
I'm just giving you stats.
The MVP debate's been heating up recently.
Kendrick Perkins and this dude named Banjo Burner on fucking Twitter have done God's work.
Who?
Yeah, they just turned around the entire narrative.
If you don't know who Banjo Burner is, it's a Bucks fan on Twitter, and he's been tweeting out like Jokic defensive lowlights for like the past like.
Yeah, I mean his defense has been like cooked. Even in the clutch as well, like, I've seen a lot of players, of people, like...
Yeah, that Spurs game was, like, the first one where it, like, opened up some people's eyes.
If last year's playoff series didn't open up eyes, I don't know what more they need to see. Did you say a name for your player of the week?
Oh, okay. So, my player of the week is Jaren Jackson. He's averaging, like, 28.7 rebounds. They're undefeated. He also had a 37 piece against the Rockets, but regardless, he's been great, man. He had a 31 piece also against the Warriors. I feel like him and Brook Lopez are battling for that Defensive Player of the Year.
Mobley's in that discussion too, as well. I don't see a lot of
people. Yeah, Evan Mobley as well.
Claxton fell off.
Defensive.
Are you shocked?
What?
Are you shocked that he fell off?
Not really. I'm not gonna lie. He kind of moves his defense, but
yeah,
I'm not surprised his candidacy fell off.
Who y'all think will win it though? Between, I mean, probably talk about that next week, but
yeah, I think we'll talk about that.
Considering games played, I'd probably give it to Lopez. I think that's what some of these voters are gonna.
I think voters are picking Jaren Jackson. I mean, Jaren Jackson got into an All-Star game, so I think.
I just think Lopez.
That was the coaches, though.
It was, but again, yeah, this is
the media.
I think the media is just gonna give it to Jaren Jackson. Like, look at coverage, right? How often do you see Brook Lopez being talked about in the same light as Jaren Jackson on
defense? I mean, bro, Brook Lopez has probably been the Bucks' second best player all season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I that would be my pick if I had to make a submission. I'm saying, but when you go and watch national media coverage, how often do you see that the same level of?
I mean, coverage? National media is just dumb, though. It's unfortunate that they get votes.
Yeah, they're the ones that get the votes, so that's why
we have absolute dumbasses like Bill Simmons being allowed to vote
MVP. And he's clearly biased too. I just don't know how he's allowed to vote.
Yeah, he's just biased. That's all it is.
Celtics fan. Guy literally doesn't really watch basketball.
He was hating on Jalen Green last year, if I remember correctly, for no reason.
Last year, he's still doing it.
So he
tweeted about Jalen Green like recent, or not tweeted, but he definitely said something about Jalen Green recently. And Jalen Green tweeted about him. But he deleted it.
I don't know how the guy's allowed to vote. Simmons?
He said Bill Simmons still like talking about me or something. I don't remember what the exact tweet was, but I quote tweeted it and I was like, damn.
Yeah, no, I don't know how some of these guys are allowed to vote. To be fair, whatever, I'll give props to Bill Simmons. He is a media giant in terms of the sports world. But, I mean, at the end of the NBA is an association, could remove him. I think it's fair that you do.
Yeah. You have Ramona Shelburne, like, 2 years ago. She was doing, like, she was mocking Embiid, and it was kind of racist. Like, the accent she put on was extremely racist.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my God. These voters, man. Marcus Spears quit voting for whatever reason. I think he said like something about a coach told him like, oh, James Harden gonna give you more interviews than Russell Westbrook, so you better vote for James Harden. And if you don't block, I mean, personally, if I was allowed to vote, I would refuse, because I don't want to be the one to decide. Actually decide is one thing, to just give your take on it. I think there's more gravity if you're deciding it. And I would not want to decide.
Especially when these votes are leaked before the actual announced. Like, we know who votes for who because somehow, some way, somebody always fucking has a Google Doc of like everyone's votes for like every award.
Yeah.
Did it get leaked last year? I mean,
You can look at it.
I had the file.
Yeah.
Oh no, he said I got the.
And it was so obvious.
I was checking that shit like every day.
Yeah, you'll go
nothing
by, like,
in the NBA is like surprising. Even the draft, it's like it gets tweeted like a minute before.
Has to be stopped. I don't know how that even happens.
Well, yeah, well, nothing surprising unless you're, you know, the fucking Orlando Magic.
The only event that doesn't get leaked is the All-Star.
At least you can hold that.
Like, bro, and no one really cares about that as much. So, I think it's time the NBA did better. We don't want, but I mean, when you got 200 people voting,
Woj is so annoying, bro, with his draft shit. Like, remember, like 4 years ago, like instead of directly tweeting this team is drafting this team, he would just word it differently. He'd be like, the New York Knicks are targeting Obi Toppin with their whatever pick they had. Like, it's just weird, bro. Well, like, just say a team is drafting someone.
They just need to ban. Like, NBA needs to make sure nobody exposes their picks.
I turned off Woj notifications before the draft even happened.
Didn't he call
Johnny Davis a point guard?
Oh, my God.
I think he did. I think it was him or Shams. I don't remember who it was. But they called Johnny Davis a point guard. I was like...
I remember last year, fucking Chris Haynes, like, he tweeted out that Thunder were drafting Jabari Smith, like, a minute before, like, the Thunder were about to pick, and it was clearly an error, like, and he deleted it quickly, but it was just hilarious.
Yeah.
Goodness. But I appreciate you guys coming on, and we'll be back next week to discuss our award picks we'll probably do awards that couple of day gap we get between the end of the season and the playing games. We'll see you guys in due time.